93.7.
KGZY.
The holidays are a perfect time to reflect, to be thankful for what you have, the family you love, the friends you cherish, and for the blessings that will come. David and Melissa Conning wish you the hope, the joy, and the wonder of the holidays today and throughout the coming new year.
You're listening to a special New Year's Day presentation on Jazzy, Grandma's Old Radio, celebrating the golden age of radio, presented as a holiday gift from David and Melissa Conning and Jazzy 93.7. KJZY Sebastopol.
Memories ring of love so true.
Now we're going to take a look at three different families of radio yesteryear. One Man's Family, Pepper Young's Family, and Chester A. Riley's Family and the Life of Riley. First, One Man's Family, the Barber family of the Seacliff section of San Francisco. Father Henry Barber was the patriarch of this clan that was on the air for 27 years, beginning in 1932 and going until 1959. All in all, there were 3,256 episodes of the program. Henry and Fanny Barber had five children: Paul, Hazel, Claudia, Cliff, who was Claudia's twin, and Jack. There seemed to be dozens of grandchildren, lots of bewildering offspring. But they could afford them. The Barbers were rich, really loaded. Father Barber was a partner in a San Francisco brokerage house. The children enjoyed all of the advantages of wealth and position, but they were never arrogant about it, and they were just as fallible as the rest of us poor people. One Man's Family showed the value and worth of the family. Where the soap operas preached agony, One Man's Family showed happiness. Their message was that our human society was a worthwhile thing, and it was the duty of all of us to make it better. We're going to hear now an episode of One Man's Family from the Second World War. This is about as sad as anything you've ever heard. Better grab a handkerchief or a tissue, because we're going to need it.
One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 9, Book 54, entitled Lieutenant Jack Barber Leaves for the Pacific. When Lieutenant Jack Barber suddenly dropped in on his family night before last and said he was headed for active duty in the Pacific and that he had just 48 hours leave, his family closed in about him like the arms of a mother about a small child. The desire to do something for him, to be something to him, to help sustain him in preparation for this new adventure was overwhelming. But as the hours went by and they found him relaxed, cheerful, and confident, then everyone else began to relax and the household was back to normal again. And now it's time for him to go. Almost time. An Army Jeep is to pick him up in front of the house at 4:30. It's 4:10 now. In the last 20 minutes at home, he's trying to have a little private conversation with each member of his family.
Hello?
It's me, Betty.
Is it time? Is it time yet?
Oh, Betty, you're beautiful.
You like it?
I didn't know you had a dress like that. What have you done to your hair?
Well, I dolled the infant daughters all up, and then I thought maybe you'd like to see me looking beautiful, too.
Just a minute while I close the door. Come here and get yourself kissed.
Oh, yes.
There.
It's almost time now, isn't it?
Almost.
Have you said goodbye to everyone else?
Yeah. Saved you for dessert.
I'm afraid your daughters are all asleep. Here they are over here.
Maybe it's better that way.
Maybe I should wake Elizabeth, Sharon, Ann anyway.
Oh, no, don't. Washed and combed and curled. My darling. You know something, Ben?
What?
We're a pretty lucky couple.
Oh, yes.
Just shot full of luck, us Jack Barbers.
Jack, we shouldn't brag about it.
Why not? Isn't every man has the most beautiful wife in the world, plus the three most beautiful daughters?
But you're leaving us, I...
Just for a little. I'll be back in no time at all.
I wish you were coming home instead of just going out.
But think of the interesting letters I'm going to send you from all the interesting places.
Is that going to be as good as somebody to lie close to? Somebody to put his arm around me? Is that as good?
Betty, my darling, we had it all figured out, remember? No last minute being sorry for ourselves.
But keep your arm around me. You can do that till it's time.
Of course I can.
Oh, Jack, make it all happen quickly. Make it so that you can come back for always and I can feel complete and whole again. Not just half a thing getting along.
As quickly as I can, Betty.
And then we'll live like a real American family should live again. I'll cook your breakfast in the morning and you'll read the paper and go down to your law office and I'll have the whole day to teach our children our way of life and have the house ready for your homecoming. And after dinner, we can be alone to plan our plans or go over to Mother and Father Barber's or go to a show. Everything will be so safe and sure and wonderful again.
It will, won't it?
Make it happen, Jack. Make it come true.
That's my going away promise to you.
It is?
To come back and fit into our way of life. That's my promise.
Oh, yes.
Jack?
Yes, Hazel?
The Jeep's down in front.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Oh, no, Jack.
Betty, you mustn't hang on to me. You mustn't make it so hard.
Not this time, Jack. Don't go this time.
Darling, they're waiting. Let me go quickly the way I wanted to. That's it. Goodbye, darling. Please don't look that way. Just say goodbye.
Of course. Goodbye, darling. I wish I'd been braver. I wish I'd been braver.
One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Henry goes to Maudie about Clifford, Chapter 4, Book 82. This is a Carlton E. Morse production.
Now, where have you heard anything sadder than that? We'll give you a moment to recover, and then we're going to hear from Pepper Young's family when we return very shortly with more from Grandma's old radio.
KJZY 93.7.
Whether the inventor of the soap opera deserves credit or blame is a question that has long been argued. Over the years, there were nearly 100 different washboard weepers. The stories were, for the most part, depressing. They dragged, and one tale followed another tale on the air in weary sequence. The soaps dominated the daytime schedule for most of the day. The daytime serial was the most criticized form of radio entertainment, and one of the most loyally followed. Listeners numbered in the millions. The soaps told the time schedule for many a housewife. The psychology of the soap opera was not too complicated. Women had to be top dog all the time, even when they were the underdog. They had to suffer. Most of the soap operas made the woman feel superior to mere man, or ill-used by man. The women heroines went on valiantly in the face of the most overwhelming obstacles. Soap opera stories covered a variety of miseries. They were about adultery, murder, broken legs, unwed motherhood, greed, forgery, fires, auto accidents, in-law trouble, divorce, jealousy, babies, robbery, business failure, suicide, drunkenness, and love. Lots of love. The story we're going to hear is about love. And as was typical of soap operas, it gets carried away until it becomes unreal schmaltz. But what delightful schmaltz.
And now, Pepper Young's family. Peggy and Carter are both before the fire in their house. Both are reluctant to tear themselves away from the coziness that envelops them. Finally, with a sigh, Peggy says,
Carter, I suppose I ought to be getting home.
That's funny, isn't it?
What, darling?
Talking about getting home when this is home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is home.
Now, it seems wrong, doesn't it, darling, to have to leave here? Have to go out into the cold when we're so warm by our fire. Well, it's so sweet to have you here. I love the smell of your hair, and I love the feel of you here in my arms.
Darling. But we just have to go.
Well, Pigs, I love you so much.
Darling, I love you, too.
Anna, I'm going to have to put you away from me. I'll put the fire screen around the fire.
All right, dear.
And I'm going to get your hat and coat and put it on you, and I'm going to take you home.
Oh, dear, do we really have to go now?
Mm-hmm. We really have to go now. Now, at least we won't have to be afraid of the house catching fire.
That's right. Oh, darling, I hate to go out into the cold. It's so heavenly in here.
But you're going out in the cold, and no fooling. Gee, it was nice having them all come in tonight, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
You know, first off, I thought it'd be terrible having anyone break in on us at all, but Pigs are such swell people, all of them. All of your friends and your family, they make me feel as if I belonged here, as if I were one of them.
You are, darling. You are one of us.
And having them come here to our house, having them all tramp down here through the snow, I'll never forget it, Pigs.
Me neither. It was so nice entertaining them in our own home.
You know, I can always think of this place when I'm away. I can always think of the firelight and the view. I can always think of them sitting around on the floor, and of your father asking for Tipperary and your mother not letting him sing it. The rest of us joining in with all the songs. Oh, Pigs, I'll have so many nice things to think about. I don't believe I'll be as lonesome as I was before.
Oh, darling, if only you never had to go away again.
I know, dear. I know, but I do. I do have to go, Pigs, and I don't mind going. Because by going, I'll be helping to get it over with that much sooner and bring me back to you that much sooner. Now, come on, sweet. Here's your coat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking you back to your father's house. I'm not going to call it your house because this is your house.
Yes. Yes, darling, this is my house.
You know what I wonder sometimes?
What?
I wonder why moments like this can't last forever. Moments like this very second, with both of us standing here watching the embers die in the fire, and my putting your coat over your shoulders and holding you in my arms this way. Oh, Pigs, why do they have to end? Why does anything beautiful and sweet and lovely ever have to end? Well, come on, dear. I'll never get you home standing like this. Come on. Out you go.
Oh, goodness, it's cold out.
I know. There, all locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come here. Let me take you out. Let me hang on to your hand. You know, Pigs, I love your hand and my hand. I love to feel your fingers and your palm against my palm. Peggy, do you know how much I love you? Do you know what heaven it is for me to be with you?
Darling, I love you, too.
I can't bear a day or an hour or a minute or even a second to go by that brings my going away from you any nearer. I can't bear it, Pigs.
Neither can I, Carter.
You know what I'd like to do?
What?
I'd like to hold back time. I'd like to put up my hands and hold it back the way you'd hold back a wall that threatens to fall on you and crush you. But you can't do it, can you, Pig? You can't hold back time. You can't stem it any more than you could if you put up your hand and tried to hold back a Niagara. You can't do it. Everything has to end, and that's what frightens me, darling. Everything has to end.
Yes, Carter, perhaps it does, but it begins again. It's like going to sleep and waking up. A lovely day has to end when you go to sleep, but then you wake up in the morning and another lovely day has started. See what I mean, dear?
Tell me more, Pigs. Tell me that when I have to leave you, when the time comes that I really have to go away from you, that another time will come when I'll come back to you.
Of course the time will come when you'll come back to me. And for good, darling, for good and for all and forever. We'll never have to go out in the cold like this. We'll never have to leave the fire dying. We'll just go upstairs together, hand in hand.
Pigs, I'm so grateful to know a girl like you. to love a girl like you. You don't know what it means to have a girl like you to love.
Carter, I like lots of other girls. The world's full of girls like me.
Oh, that's what you think, but I know different. You're just... Well, you're just about everything that a man wants to hang on to and to believe in and to hold before him. And I don't know what I'm trying to say, Peggs. It's so hard to find words to describe how I feel. They come stumbling through, but half the time I don't say what I want to say. I can't say what I want to say. All I do know is that I'll have hours and hours when I'm back there telling myself what a fool I am to have let you go away from me even for a minute. And then I'll have hours and hours of being glad that I did. Because I'll keep on saying, Peggs, that it was the right thing to do. And then I'll have hours of being afraid you won't wait for me to come back.
Of course I'll wait for you, Carter. You know that.
I know it now, Peggs. I believe it now, but there'll be times when I won't believe it. When I can't believe it. Peggs, I'll be so afraid that somebody else will take you away from me. Somebody will mean more to you than I mean to you now.
I'm not afraid of that, darling. I'm not afraid of anything, really. I'm so sure that we'll be together sometime and that we need never be parted again.
No. You know, I never want you to go away from me once we're married. I never want to leave you even for a minute. Please, darling, if I have to go away on a trip, if I have to go away even for a little while, please go with me. Wherever I go, please never let me be alone again.
No, darling. I'll never let you be alone again.
Pepper Young hears some surprising news from his mother. Surprising and troubling. Be sure to listen to Pepper Young's family tomorrow.
After a while, those two began sounding like they had lost the script and were ad-libbing, but couldn't think of anything to say, so they kept saying the same thing over and over. 50 years of broadcasting history are passing before your ears. We'll hear from the head of a fund family when we return with The Life of Riley in just a moment on Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
The Life of Riley was a well-written comedy show that gained a great deal of popularity with radio audiences. Here we find William Bendix as Chester A. Riley out for a lonely walk when he runs into one of radio's classic supporting characters.
I guess I'd better go home. Gee, what a mess I made of my life. I wish the earth would open up and swallow me.
Wishing won't make it so.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker. Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Oh, Digger, I feel terrible. It's my boy, Junior.
Ah, yes. Boys can be a problem. You know that gang of hoodlums that's always annoying me?
Yeah.
Yesterday, they pilfered a sign from a grocery store and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was furious.
Well, why? What did the sign say?
Try our large economy box. Enough for the whole family.
Well, I'm in a real jam, Digger, on account of I made an awful mistake.
In my business, we've learned one thing. When we make a mistake, we cover it up.
You see, I pretended to be a great football star, and Junior found out I was a fake.
Oh, Riley, you must never pretend to be something you're not. A friend of mine once visited my place, a practical joker. So he lay down and pretended to be a customer. Unfortunately, I had a nearsighted assistant.
Well, what happened?
It was the first time in my career a client ever got a round trip.
Well, you see, I wanted to make Junior proud of me.
That's a natural instinct for a father. I've always tried to make my son proud of me. And today, my boy worships the very ground I work in.
He loves you?
Madly. After all, I'm wise, witty, and winsome. Gentle, just, and generous. Tender, temperate, and tolerant. He adores me. I'm so gay.
My boy hates me. I'm ashamed to go home and look him in the face.
I don't blame you. It's a serious problem.
What'll I do? Will you help me, Digger?
Of course. I always help people. In my profession, we have a saying. I quote, if a man is hungry, feed him. If he's lost, lead him. If he's lonely, marry him. And if he's flat, carry him. You know, Riley, my advice is go home and face the music. I'm sure the lad will forgive you.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Digger. It's the only thing to do. Well, thanks for helping me.
Don't mention it. I'm always glad to give a man a push in the right direction. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
We'll continue Turning Time Around in just a moment on Grandma's Old Radio.
Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Everyone is saying you don't love me. Say it isn't so. Everywhere I go, everyone I know whispers that you're growing tired of me. Say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new, and it won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say that everything is still okay. That's all I wanna know. And what they're saying, say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Everyone is saying you don't love me, say it isn't so. Everywhere I go, everyone I know whispers that you're growing tired of me. Say it isn't so. People say that you found somebody new, and it won't be long before you leave me. Say it isn't true. Say that everything is still okay. That's all.
KJZY, Jazzy.